This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We have some breaking news with the St. Louis Cardinals. Drew, why don't you cue that up? This is what Ollie Marmol said to me last hour when I asked him about Sonny Gray.
Yeah, we're actually going to sit down as soon as we hang up here and discuss that very topic of what's that going to look like for him moving forward, and we should have an answer here shortly.
And shortly indeed. Ollie Marmol has told the media at Busch Stadium that Sonny Gray is going to start on Tuesday against the Phillies. He is going to pitch for the St. Louis Cardinals. This is something that he brought up on the home opener. That day, he said, if it were up to me, I'd pitch in St. Louis and skip this rehab start and just go, basically is what he said. And the Cardinals decided to talk to him. They expected him to want to compete and be in that frame of mind. And now he is, according to Ollie, 100% himself. Katie Wu of The Athletic just quoted Marmol as saying, Sonny is as direct and honest of a human as you can encounter. If he says he's 100% himself and ready to go, I trust that. So Sonny Gray is going to make his Cardinals debut Tuesday against the Phillies. Pitch count around 65. If he throws as efficiently as he can, that could be five, maybe even six innings. Probably five for Sonny Gray. Pretty cool stuff. And the Cardinals are going to be a lot better with Sonny Gray in their rotation. A lot better. No offense to anybody else. He's just their best pitcher, and he's one of the best pitchers in the game. So the Cardinals will make some moves accordingly when that happens, and I think their bullpen gets better as a result. I think the whole team gets better as a result. And there will be pitchers in reserve because things do happen. So you'll have a lot of opportunities for starts down the road from others, but Sonny Gray jumps in there. Pretty cool. So that would be the rotation back together, Gray with Michaelis and Lynn and Gibson and Matz in whatever order they decide to go. But that's where we are with Matz starting yesterday and Gibson starting today for the Cardinals against the Marlins. Cards go for the sweep. We have the game for you coming up at 1:15 with the pregame at 12:20. It'll be Kyle Gibson pitching today against the Miami Marlins. Tomorrow, the Cardinals will take on the Phillies at 6:45, and Miles Michaelis will pitch. And then Sonny Gray has been inserted into the rotation for Tuesday's game against the Phillies, who are throwing Zach Wheeler. Oh, baby, what a matchup that is at Busch Stadium on 6:45. Cardinals are 5-4 on the season. First time they've had a winning record in quite some time, early last year. So it has been a long time. Actually, it was their third game of the year. They were 2-1, if I recall. That's the last time they had the winning record. The Cardinals and the Marlins. Also going on is the Final Four. We talked so much about St. Louis sports last hour. I didn't give you my deep thoughts here on the Final Four. So two things. One, the Iowa Hawkeyes will give undefeated South Carolina all they can handle tonight. Actually, it's this afternoon. 2 o'clock is the tip in that one. That is going to be a fantastic basketball game. South Carolina took care of business beating NC State, had a little bit of trouble holding off Indiana, a team that beat Iowa earlier this season. In fact, they're the last team to beat Iowa. But they were up 22 on Indiana in the second half. Indiana was bombing threes, got back into it very quickly, cut it to two, ended up losing by four. Got to imagine South Carolina does not want that to happen again. This is a different deal. You got Caitlin Clark playing at the very end of her career for the Iowa Hawkeyes in the national championship game. Look out. I mean, this is, you know, her stage. This is let her win the game for you. This is going to be must-watch television this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Should be a great game. South Carolina is phenomenal. They're undefeated. And Iowa is resilient and tough and quick, and they move the ball so well on offense. They are an absolute joy to watch. And then tomorrow night, it's UConn against Purdue. This is a fascinating matchup because you have two big men. Everybody pays attention to Zach Edey, and rightfully so. Zach Edey is a big man. He's 7'4", 300 pounds, but he moves extremely well. I think for his size, he's a great athlete, especially in the half court. Gets up and down the floor. He can block shots. He can alternate shots. The problem is he's running up against another very good big man, Donovan Clingan. Clingan is 7'2", 280 pounds. That's what he's listed at. This is a classic big man head-to-head like Georgetown, Houston back in the day. You guys know what I'm talking about. For those of you who watched back in the day, Patrick Ewing against Hakeem Olajuwon, and they ended up meeting again in the 1994 NBA Finals, Knicks-Rockets. But anyway, this is classic big man basketball. Today is going to be kind of the prep for those teams, getting ready on how they're going to face each other. But I think it comes down to the two big men. And if anyone can give Zach Edey trouble, it's Clingan. Clingan is something else. So it's going to be a blast to watch that one. If I had to take a guess on that one, I'd say UConn wins it. I don't know how you can pick against them at this point. They have been running people over right and left. But Purdue is a tough team with a brilliant coach in Matt Painter, and they are fun to watch when they are clicking on offense. They're really, really fun. So the problem, though, that they run into is UConn does not have to double Zach Edey. They don't need to have someone shadowing and trying to front and catch a pass in front of Zach Edey. They have Clingan. So they can guard Edey with one guy and then guard the other four guys. They don't have to leave somebody open. But we'll see. Who knows? And they're also a very good defensive team, and they can explode offensively. That UConn team is scary, scary good. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will be visited by Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. 0-0 draw last night at City Park. Lutz will talk to us, then John Mozeliak at 11:30, and we'll have all kinds of stuff for you. The sports world is just exploding, not only around here, but around the country. We'll get you up to date on everything. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX continues right after this.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Button pushed, outswinger, top of the six, hit it all, Roman Berkey, diving save of the far post, I don't believe it!
That was better than the last save.
Unbelievable, Roman Berkey! Absorbing things like a SpongeBob mascot, watching a microplastics PowerPoint.
Well, that's good, but how about the voice crack for Joey Zanaboni? Boy, was he revved up yesterday about that save and more, and that was City in a scoreless draw with FC Dallas. And joining us to talk about that and more is the sporting director of St. Louis City SC. Joins us every Sunday at 11:15. Hello, Lutz Vandensteel. How are you doing?
Not bad, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. What did you think of yesterday?
Well, you know, it's obviously a bit frustrating if you can't score, especially if you create lots of chances. I mean, we had two XG's expected goals. We had 27 shots, and unfortunately couldn't finish. On the good side, we kept a clean sheet. we already had that takeout. Roman Bürki played a fantastic game, had four really good saves. But it's a home game, and of course you want to win the home games. But yesterday, you know, comparing it to the game last week, we created chances. It's now really, we have to also finish them to reward ourselves. We had a lot of possession, created the chances, especially in the last part of the game, hit the crossbar with Klaus Sammer and came on, had two good chances as well. So it was out there. But, you know, it's a good step forward. And, yeah, we have to work hard to get the next win.
Busy goalkeepers in that one. I've got you down for 24 shots, 7 shots on target, 9 corner kicks. That sound about right? And certainly keeping Pius busy, but he was really good, as was Bürki.
Yeah, both keepers were outstanding, you know. I mean, also the 2-3 safe pass made, especially the one from Klaus, which he clawed out of the top corner, was really good. So we kept him busy. We had lots of shots on target. Some easy saves. Roman had more difficult saves to make, to be honest. But definitely a game of two very good goalkeepers.
Yeah, Bürki with his 10th clean sheet with City over the past two seasons. What an incredible number that is. And you also have not lost at City Park this year. You've only lost there once in the last 10 matches. Those are remarkable numbers, but I know you want some of those three-pointers. You want to start getting some Ws. It was an entertaining game, I would say, for a scoreless draw. I attended one against LAFC last year that I would say the same thing about. A little bit of different kind of a game. But those scoreless draws can be entertaining.
Yeah, I know. If you're used to baseball and ice hockey, of course, it's much higher scoring games where there is always something happening. But yeah, in soccer, I think a 0-0 can have some good quality and can have some good chances as well. Yeah, I think, you know, it's very early in the season, to be fair. I always give an example about Seattle, which are they starting every year pretty slow. And in the end, they're going to the finals or coming really far. So it's a long season with 34 games. We're not that far in yet. On the good side, we only lost one game. But as you said, you're getting 3 points for a win. It automatically pushes you forward. We're 3 points away from the third place. So it's very early to say, it's good, it's bad, are we not playing well, are we playing really well? That's something which the next week we're thinking in blocks. We think in blocks of 5 games. Now we are in the second part of that block, and we just have to really try it. I'm feeling a bit for Klaus because he worked hard yesterday. You know, I thought he plays actually a good game offensively, defensively, made room, got into the right spaces to score. And then it was a save or it was the crossbar which just kept him out. So for him, it's really important to get that goal out of open play. And then we will see a Klaus again who will score more goals.
Ostrak, who can score, obviously did not because there were no goals in this game, but he is some player. I mean, I was watching video of the game last night. He was kind of all over the place, wasn't he?
Yeah, Thomas, you know, you also need to think a little bit about his current position and where he plays on the field. So when we brought him in, he was more a player who played more in the front third. Yeah. Now he plays more as a central midfielder, 6-8, so a bit more also in the center next to Chris Durkin, which worked really well. I thought it was probably one of the best games he ever played so far for the club yesterday. Probably definitely his best game of the season. So there's a lot of good movement in with Thomas as well. You know, I mean, when we brought him over from Germany, he was a player with a very high ceiling. But this season so far, he does a great job. And yesterday, I think he was, for me, actually, he was personally my man of the match. Not taking away from Roman that he kept us in the game with 3 or 4 world-class saves.
No, I totally get that. And Durkin's a good player, man. I mean, he comes over and has been a big addition for you. What did you think of Durkin?
Well, he's a machine, like a true machine, you know, like an engine in the center. I mean, he works hard. He runs his socks off every single time, every single training session. He's just a very important piece to have in there, like a player who never gives up, a player who also comes in every single session, every single game with a very big mentality. And that helps us a lot to have a player in there which is good when it comes to strategy, it's good when it comes to winning balls, it's good when it comes to pick up second balls. So definitely for us a really important transfer.
Roman, I always like to see what he says because I really respect his leadership and what he says. He said, we definitely have to get back to being a team that's hard to beat in the last few weeks. We weren't that team today. We weren't a team. Roman can survey as well as anybody and see the field from his perspective. What do you gather from his comments there?
Yeah, you know, it's like everybody has a perspective after the game. I'm pretty sure that we're still a team which is very difficult to beat. But it's not just about not being unbeaten. It's about also winning games, you know. Or, as you said, a draw is, yeah, you don't lose. But on the other hand, it just gives you that 1 point and not the 3 points. And yeah, if you put it on a in mathematics, obviously, you know, it's you playing three games draw, it's the same as you winning one, so it's a big difference. And yeah, I mean, we know we have areas to improve, but it's also we have areas which we can build on. And I thought yesterday, despite the result, you know, don't get me wrong, Tom, I'm not happy with the result. I wanted to win that game against the Dallas team, which was so far always in trouble this season. But that we didn't accomplish. But when it comes to the way we played, the chances we created, I mean, you looked at the stats. You just mentioned the stats before. It was there for us to grab, and we just have to finish better.
Yeah, and if you get into those dangerous areas as many times as you did, you're going to be fine. I mean, that's exactly right, and you have to feel good about that. And then finally, that also revs up the crowd quite a bit. I mean, they love that stuff. What did you think of the crowd last night? And I'm sure you were well aware that some of those people probably came over from the Cardinals, maybe even did a little double dip of Battlehawks and City. Downtown was nuts last night, just nuts. I mean, the fans were everywhere, Lutz.
Yeah, when I drove back after the game, it took me like half an hour more than it normally would take me. It was still so busy on the streets. Yeah, the crowd was fantastic as always. You know, a little draw against Dallas, and the team still walks their usual lap with people are still waiting in the stadium and still, you know, like communicating to the players. So it was great as always.
Yeah, good time. So I appreciate this visit as always. Thank you for being with us. And another one coming, a Sunday game this time. You get Austin on Sunday. So good luck with that, and we'll catch up with you then.
Thank you, Tom.
Great to talk to Lutz Vanisteel, always. Sporting director, St. Louis City SC. What a fun product they have over there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's a visit with Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. He joins us live from Busch Stadium. They're going for the sweep today, taking on the Miami Marlins. Back after this, you're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX, sponsored by Graybar.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
11:31, great to have you back on the show. Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Dan Reardon with a Masters preview coming up at 11:45. Looking forward to catching up with him. Right now, it is the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak, back on the show. Mo, thanks again for doing this. We appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Got to see your guy Adam Wainwright play last night, opening for Zach Brown, and I'm here to tell you he has a future as a country music star. He was fantastic in front of a sold-out crowd.
Yeah, I heard it was a fun show, so that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, good. And we raised money for Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. Good times. Waino retired last year. Your rotation received three new members, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, and Sonny Gray. I spoke to Ollie Marmol last hour, and he said right after we hang up the phone, I'm going to visit with Sonny, and we will figure out a course of action for him. I understand, Mo, that he has spoken to reporters, Ollie has, and has revealed that Sonny is going to start this week in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think he gets the Tuesday start. You know, obviously, we originally penciled him to go to Memphis, but he felt like just the work he got in down in Springfield, the way his body's feeling, he feels like he's ready to go and contribute. So that's exciting. And obviously, I look forward to him donating the birds on the bat and making the start for the St. Louis Cardinals on Tuesday. I think that'll be really great. And yeah, obviously, we'll deal with the corresponding move when time comes. But in the meantime, I think that's exciting news for us.
It is. And, you know, you went out and got him. You wanted him to anchor your rotation, and here he is. And explain, if you would, that process, too, so people understand the care and the detail that goes into the rehab process, but also listening to the player, because the player understands his body.
Yeah, I think we've talked a lot about the process and, you know, how detailed our medical team is, and really at all professional levels. These guys are they're pros. They're well educated. They know how to get people back onto the field. I think the trickiest part and the greatest unknown is sometimes understanding, you know, how a player reacts to X, Y, and Z in terms of injuries, recovery, and where they are. And, you know, in my experience, I've been doing this for a long time, sometimes you get honest answers and sometimes you don't get the most honest answers. And so you're really trying to read the tea leaves on how best to go with that. So spent some time with Sonny this morning, talked through, you know, really just, you know, the expectations and saying, hey, look, we have to trust you. If you think you're ready, then we'll give this a shot. You know, medically, they're always going to take the safer approach. Time is always on your side in that regard. But I think Sonny just felt like, based on how he threw down at Springfield, that like he's ready for that next step.
Cardinals taking on the Marlins this afternoon, and it'll be Kyle Gibson. How about Kyle starting out his Cardinals career with 7 innings? That's exactly what you went out to get him for, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want your starters to go deep into games, because what does it do? It shortens games, and then it keeps that bullpen fresh. I think the one thing that people don't realize at the professional level is you play 162 games over 187 days. And so, you know, every given day, we don't necessarily have like our full bullpen, or we're at full strength. And so as a manager, you're always sort of left trying to navigate the best hand you have on that given day. And, you know, ideally you can give certain players days off, not have to use them. And so then when you do need them or need to call upon them, they're ready to go. And then you feel like you are working at full strength. So, you know, Gibby's start last week was huge. It was something that gave us a little space. You know, really, when you look at our schedule, too, with having every Thursday off in the month of April, it does give us a little bit of, you know, a nuance where we can help sort of shuffle and stay fresh, which is nice because, you know, we do have a challenging schedule starting on the West Coast, then having to go back out to the Western time zone here at the end of this homestand. It does give us a little bit of breathing room in terms of trying to keep that bullpen fresh. So that part is, even though we have a tough schedule, in a way, having those off days is definitely fortuitous.
That's a really good point. Your bullpen, Keenan Middleton, was a big addition, too, in this offseason. He was somebody that you could have near the back end of your bullpen. What is the latest with him, Mo? How is he doing?
You know, I ran into him yesterday. He definitely says he feels like he's getting over the hump and getting closer. So he'll be reassessed early this part of this week, and then hopefully he can begin a throwing program, and we can get him back. Because, to your point, yeah, he was signed to be a high leverage reliever, and, you know, unfortunately for the month of April, we're not going to have him. But if we can have him for the next 5 months, that'll be great news.
You've been able to navigate these injuries so far. You had in your lineup on opening day and yesterday all these young players: Walker, Wynn, Gorman, you know,
Herrera.
Scott, Herrera. I mean, it's really something. And now here comes Lars. I mean, Lars is close, isn't he?
He is close. He's playing today. We'll see how that goes, and we'll make a decision post-game tonight on what's next. You know, I think, like, the one thing for him is you got to realize he missed a lot of spring training. So, you know, all day at-bats we can get him before he comes back is, I think, critical. The one good news is he does feel good. Like, he has no discomfort. He feels like, from a physical standpoint, he's ready to go. The key is where is he from a timing standpoint? And that'll be factored in as we make this next decision. And, but yes, I do feel like, you know, Contreras, he could go today if you had to, but we're just giving him one more day because we can. And, you know, Herrera's playing well, so it gives you the opportunity to rest players when you need to. So I do agree with you, though. It's kind of interesting how, you know, this young group has brought some energy for us, and it's come up with some big hits and some big plays defensively, and it's been fun to watch.
Herrera certainly looks the part, and he looks like a hitter. He looks like a catcher. It's because he is. He's put in a lot of work. Ollie talked about that extensively last hour. And just to get your read on Brendan Donovan's bounce back, too, was that expected that he would be able to be okay?
Yeah, we certainly assumed it would be. You know, he was down in Jupiter for majority of his offseason. So, you know, we had hands on him working with him, and we had a pretty good feel that he was in a good spot. So I'm not overly surprised how he's playing. He's a baseball player. I mean, he's one of those guys. He kind of reminds me of a Rusty Nail, like, you know, just tough, gritty, and, you know, loves the game.
Yeah, he really does. And I told him at one point early in spring training where he dove and fell on that arm. I'm like, well, I guess you're okay. I mean, he's diving into the home plate. He is a gamer for sure. Tommy Edman is too. And I know this has got to be frustrating for him and for the organization too. But again, you will have to preach patience here. This is, and Carlson, throw him into there too. And I guess to an extent, Matt Carpenter, because an oblique you always have to be careful with, don't you, Mo?
Yeah, I think like starting with Tommy, I think we were all a little bit surprised that you know, where he's at in the sense of like when we got down to spring training. But now that we know what we're dealing with and we kind of know where we are, I am pretty optimistic that like he's going to be able to start taking, you know, major steps forward. And so I think that's good news. He's getting his grip strength back, which is vital to taking those next steps. So I'm encouraged at where he's at, and I definitely, can see the end of his tenure on the IL if I squint hard enough. That it seems like in reason. I think Carlson is going to have a big week this week to take that step forward. So be exciting to see how he responds to that. And Carp has assured me this is not a big deal, so I'm going to take him at his word. He knows his body as well as anyone, so. You know, fingers crossed, it's shorter rather than longer.
Good to hear. It was great to see him last night. He was at the show last night, too. And finally, I wanted to wrap with this because I don't think that he gets enough attention, but I've kept my eye on him. Obviously, you all have. Pedro Páez is a good catcher, and he has made it to the majors. I know he's been through this hard work and climb to get to where he is. Could you maybe describe your feelings about Pedro and how far he's come as you've tried to identify who that third catcher will be?
Well, he's always been someone in our system that from a defensive standpoint has always graded out very well. He's also probably like every team he ever plays on, like one of the favorite teammates. So managers, coaches, players alike, they all love him, appreciate him. He's just one of those guys that works extremely hard, never wants a day off, understands his role. But, I mean, it's exciting to get called to the big leagues. And for someone like that to be rewarded in this way, I think is a great story. But, you know, I think he has many, many chapters ahead of him. I do think he'll find a slot at some point at the major league level, which is exciting to see. But like, he's one of those guys, like in spring training, he shows up early, stays late, and, something that every organization is grateful to have guys like him around.
Yeah, very well said. Thanks for the time as always. It was great to see you on opening day. Good to visit with you today, and good luck. Go get a sweep.
All right. Thank you.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, always gracious to join us and break down the Cardinals for us, answer our questions about the club. A lot of health things going on, you know, they got to get healthy, but somehow they've been able to manage a 5-4 record, and hopefully for Cardinals fans, they can keep that gas pedal down. We'll take a break. When we come back, oh my gosh, it is that time. The Masters on CBS. It's coming up. The Masters is fast approaching. And Dan Reardon, KMOX's senior golf editor, is going to be in Augusta.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gives us a preview live, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other things that are happening today. There's a lot. Back after this.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Is that a Caddyshack clip you just threw out there, Drew?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. It is the start of the golf season. I know the PGA Tour has already been rolling, and we have been following golf, but this is the beginning for many of us. It is the first major of the year. The Masters begins this week, and joining us on the line is a man who will be covering it once again, our KMOX senior golf editor. Nobody does it better than Dan Reardon on KMOX. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. You know, I think I'm correct. This is the latest the Masters can be on the calendar, and it's very late this year. I mean, we've had Masters fall on Easter Sunday, but it's always the first full week in April, and I think Sunday the 7th would make it the latest it can possibly be on the calendar. And that actually affects the way the tournament is played, because the condition of the golf course in early April to late April, or mid-April, I should say, will be a little bit different. They have a good weather forecast except for Thursday, but it's an unusually late Masters, I think.
Well, let me take a look at that forecast, as you just mentioned. So Thursday, you got a little rain there.
Yeah. But the weather, I mean, the weather all week is supposed to be generally good. The temperature's in the 70s. So unless they would get, what I saw was around a half inch. Unless they would get something changed dramatically, that's not going to really affect the golf course too much. The greens will be no different at all. You may get a little softness in the fairways.
Well, I've been putting it off for years, and I won't be there this year, but eventually I will make it to Augusta National and attend the Masters and watch this incredible tournament unfold. And what would be, let me ask you this, you've been going there for years. When I arrive at Augusta at some point, and again, not going to do it this year, but I will, what would be the biggest surprise that I would find seeing it in person?
Nobody ever can appreciate the change in elevation that's present at the golf course. Everything flattens on television considerably. So, and that's why I say, if you go to the Masters once, you do everything that you need to do to enjoy the tournament going forward. But to appreciate the shots that the players are playing, you have to appreciate the amount of elevation. And it's not so much going downhill or uphill, although on 9 and 18 is starkly uphill. But I think that's what the biggest surprise to people always is. And by the way, that plays into the story of the week, which is Tiger Woods, because it is the most difficult golf course on the PGA Tour annually to walk.
How is Tiger feeling? And obviously he's ready to play.
Well, he announced a caddy. He's got a caddy that used to work for Matt Kuchar and some other players on tour. So that was announced today. He played, by reports, a week ago with Justin Thomas. There was a report from Nota Begay that while the ankle and the foot were fine, as Tiger has learned to adapt to the fused ankle, he now is developing back soreness. And we know that he withdrew last year. Now, that was related to the ankle. That was related to the surgery. The back problems have always been with him, and they now be exaggerated because he has to walk a little differently in order to accommodate what he has done in fusing that ankle. So there's a big question mark still sitting out there, not whether he can win or make the cut, but whether he can walk 72 holes at Augusta. He hasn't done them in a while.
Wow. Dan Reardon joining us. He will be following the Masters, which gets underway this Thursday. The favorites in this one, I got to think Scottie Scheffler is one of two or three, along with Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy. Would that be your top three?
I would say they're on everybody's A-list. Rahm is a little hard to discern because, you know, he doesn't play on the PGA Tour anymore, so we have less of a read on his game. And with all due respect to LIV, the 54-hole no-cut events don't give us a real feel for where he is specifically. The one trend that we have currently going on at the Masters is people who have won the Masters in the last, I think, 7 years have all been first-time Masters winners. So, you know, when you talk about a Scheffler, He doesn't fit that category. When you talk about a McIlroy, he definitely fits that category. Rory has not played well this year, particularly on tour, but that may be to his benefit coming in.
I think a sneaky one would be Wyndham Clark, wouldn't you? If you were to pick somebody that might be able to make a little run here.
Well, he certainly has demonstrated he's for real, that the win at L.A. Country Club last year was not a one-off kind of event for him. And he took Scheffler to the distance, I think, at Bay Hill, I believe it was. There's two things about Clark that it'll be interesting to see how well he fits at Augusta. The first one is that he plays it left to right. And typically, the winners at Augusta have people that draw the ball, hit it right to left. The other thing about Clark is he has a reasonably low ball. He powers the ball off the tee. And that's again, not the best fit for Augusta, where the high ball is really what you want to have, particularly into the greens. So I think he needs to be on that list, but he will be a curiosity to see how good the fit is. There are other players that fall under that same category. You know, Xander Schauffele should be on everybody's list every time he tees it up on a major, except Xander doesn't seem to get it done on Sundays. So he would be in that category. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick has proven that he is a legitimate talent coming off of a few years ago of winning the U.S. Open. So there are a number of players who have never won at the Masters who fit that description. And you're right, Scheffler is easily the best player on form coming into this championship. And people probably are saying, well, he can't putt. Well, he pretty much has handled his putting difficulties. So Scheffler should be probably drawing the biggest fields after Tiger on that first day.
And to your point, Xander Schauffele, who is the world number five right now, has never won a major. But over the last, 7 years, since 2017, 11 top 10 finishes in majors. 11. Like, as you said, he's always on that leaderboard. He just can't get the job done. What other storylines are you following, Dan? Some intriguing Masters storylines as we take a look at this field.
I'm curious to see in the second full year of that if there is going to be any LIV conversations going on. We got a lot of it last year because Koepka was leading going into the final round, so that became a big topic of discussion, not only during the tournament, but in the post-round interviews to see, you know, what people are going to do. We have to mention that they've lengthened the second hole. Now it's the longest hole at Augusta National at 585. Now that plays downhill, so it doesn't play quite that length. I would say those are the only two things that jump out at me. It is an Olympic year, so the international field becomes more of a factor. And talking about LIV, keep an eye on Joaquin Niemann. I think Joaquin Niemann is probably the best young talent on the LIV tour. And he has played well there in the past. You know, he finished, he finished in the second 10, somewhere around 15th. He finished tied for 16th a year ago. He's played well there when he was extremely young. Now he's a much more mature golfer. And then throw in somebody like a Paige Dunlop, who won as an amateur and turned pro and qualified by the virtue of his win to play in the Masters, even though he was a U.S. amateur champion. He's come back to form a little bit in the last couple of weeks. So there are a variety of stories, but most of them will develop through Thursday and Friday. And if weather comes into play, that will be another story as well.
We'll be watching it closely. Dan Reardon about to head to Augusta, Georgia to see the Masters. It begins on Thursday. Dan, before we go, we got a couple minutes left. I had Jim Brennan, the president of McKelvey Homes, in here. He is on the board of directors of Cardinal Glennon. We were talking about not only his business, but also last night raising money for Cardinal Glennon and Adam Wainwright's concert and the giving St. Louis community. One thing I didn't have time to ask him, he is a member of Belle Reve Country Club, is how things are going over there. I mean, time flies. We're 2 years out from the BMW, Dan. And before you know it, they'll be talking about laying the groundwork for the President's Cup in 2030.
And you know what makes the BMW so interesting is as discussions go forward, and I hate to keep bringing LIV into the conversation, but as the discussions go forward, we don't know exactly what the qualifying or the structure will be for the BMW because it's part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So right now, none of the LIV players, other than I think Brooks Koepka, are eligible. even to score points going into that situation. So Bell Reeve will be ready physically. There's no question the course will be prepared. The politics, I think, going into next year. You know, we were supposed to have an announcement before the Masters of what the final determination was between the Saudi group and the PGA Tour. Now that's no longer the case. So I would say that I'm looking forward to Bell Reeve, but I'm curious to know what those circumstances will be when we get to 2026.
Interesting. Appreciate the time very much. Have fun at the Masters. We'll keep in touch with you throughout the week and weekend, Dan.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
KMOX's senior golf editor, Dan Reardon, about to cover yet another Masters. What a year this is going to be. Actually, PGA Championships within driving distance. You can get to Louisville. They're playing at Valhalla this year. I may be heading over there the next month just to see what's going on over there. It is 11:56. It's time for us to go. Let me just review what we have learned today. First, Sonny Gray is going to start on Tuesday against the Phillies. That was announced by Ollie Marmol in the clubhouse just a little while ago after he spoke with us for a little bit here on KMOX, told us he was about to have a meeting with Sonny Gray. Well, that meeting went very well for Sonny and for the Cardinals. Sonny is going to start on Tuesday. He'll have a 65-pitch limit. We also heard from Chris May, the athletic director at St. Louis University, who spoke at length about Josh Schertz. The new hire is going to be introduced tomorrow on the SLU campus, and also the celebration of the WNIT victory for the SLU women. And he spoke glowingly of Rebecca Tillett and the job that she has done there. At 11:15, Lutz Fahnensteel was with us, sporting director, St. Louis City SC, about the scoreless draw last night. And John Mozeliak was very good breaking down all of the injuries and the contingencies and everything the Cardinals are dealing with right now to navigate through this season so far. They are 5-4. Cardinal baseball comes your way at 12:20.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.